Welcome to today's Hinckley Forum. My name is Rebecca, and I will be your host for today. The Hinckley Institute was established in 1965 through the generous bequest of the Nobel Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to providing students with a learning experience in practical politics and teaching them the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships to all students, to students of all majors here locally in Washington, D.C., and in 35 countries around the globe. The Institute also offers classes, our nation's only campaign management minor, and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door to our office or to our website at hinckley.utah.edu for more information. I will now turn the time over to our moderator, Jennifer Napier Pierce, who is the host and producer of City Views on KCPW and will be our moderator for today's forum.
Thanks so much. I'm honored to be with you for this Salt Lake County Mayor's Debate. The format for today's debate is fairly straightforward. Each candidate will have 3 minutes for an opening statement. I'll ask a few questions to get us started and then give candidates rebuttal time. Then I'll open it up to you. When you get the microphone, you'll need to wait for the microphone since this is being recorded. Please state your name and keep your question to one short question. A coin toss determined that Mark Crockett will begin with our opening statements. So, Mark Crockett, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you today. Wonderful turnout. Thank you for coming. And thank you for taking an interest in our community. You probably have more at stake than most of the rest of us do. You'll have more years that you live with what happens. So thank you. I'm running for county mayor because really two main things. I think we know which direction we want to go as a community, but the question is, how do we get there? I have spent my career turning around large, complicated organizations. Turns out the county is almost a $1 billion budget, has 3,600 employees, 4,400 if you count the seasonal people, 300 different programs. Turning around an organization like that is not something that we want learning on the job. We want to be able to hit the ground running because we need to avoid a tax increase. I don't know if that's a big deal to you, but for a lot of people in the Valley, these have been tough times the last number of years, and we need to make sure that we aren't putting an added burden on them, and especially that we aren't competing with education for scarce tax dollars. What I've spent my career doing is help save organizations like the county and larger, save them billions of dollars a year. And we can do that. We should be able to save at least $40 million and make the programs better while we're at it. Which programs do I think matter most is kind of my second reason. How many of you might agree that each level of government should focus on the things that it's really designed to do? Does that make sense to you? We want each level of government kind of to focus on their key thing. Turns out that the key thing of county government across the whole country is human services. So as opposed to prison, which is felons, the county is responsible for misdemeanors in jail, drug treatment programs, seniors programs, at-risk kids, increasingly homelessness and refugees. That is the reason that county government exists, and it's $350+ million a year. Strangely, though, we don't have better outcomes from those programs than really anywhere else in the country. We have amazing people in this valley, and my clients have changed virtually everything that they do over the last 20 years because of technology. We can be better at these programs. I am sure that it will make a huge difference in a lot of lives, and that's the main reason that I'm running.
Great. Ben McAdams.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you all today. It wasn't too long ago that I actually sat in these chairs. It was the conference room wasn't this nice. It was before it was renovated. But this is how I first got introduced to political life as a Hinckley intern. I did a Hinckley internship in Washington, came back, and started volunteering for campaigns. So I kind of know where you all are. It's been great to get to know some of you on my campaign or even working on other campaigns, and it's great to see your involvement. I'll tell you a secret that you may have learned, but something that helped me get through as I was a college student working numerous part-time jobs to put myself through college and wanting to do some of these extracurricular activities that enhance my education was there's a blood bank on North Temple and 6th West where you can donate plasma. and it pays all right. So that's kind of how I was able to do campaigns and school and all of that. So that's my tip for the day to you. I'm running for county mayor because I believe there are challenges on the horizon for Salt Lake County. But I believe we can rise to those challenges. We can make those challenges into opportunities. But if we are going to do that, if we're going to rise to our challenges, if we are going to move ahead and maintain the high quality of life that we enjoy in Salt Lake County today, we need to come together. I believe there's far too much partisanship and not enough partnership in government. I'm tired of seeing people who will bicker and fight and gridlock and not get anything done, because I believe the victims of gridlock and disagreement in government are you and I and our families, because we need solutions to the challenges we face. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a senator in the Utah State Legislature. I'll give you a little bit of my background. After I graduated from the U, I went to law school in New York and then practiced law, doing securities law, business law, mergers and acquisitions for Fortune 500 companies. Did that until our twins were born in 2005, and at that time we decided we wanted to move back to Utah to raise our family because we love this community. So I've been back here practicing business law and teaching corporate and securities law at the University of Utah Law School here. And several years ago, I was hired by local government to bring a private sector perspective to government. I've been doing that for the last few years working for Salt Lake City. And in my time working for local government, we've been able to work across party lines, bring people together, and move forward with key projects like the airport tracks line, other mass transit projects, and infrastructure projects in Salt Lake City. Now, as a senator, I have a reputation for working across party lines, bringing people together to deliver results. I'm proud to have the support of 13 of 17 mayors throughout Salt Lake County because they believe we can accomplish far more by working together and far more for their constituents than we can by working individually. Ben McAdams, running for county mayor.
Thank you very much. Our first question, I want to address air quality. According to Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment, more than 1,000 Wasatch Front residents die every year from the direct effects of air pollution. So, as county mayor, how would you work to improve air quality in the Salt Lake Valley? And please be very specific. Let's start with you, Ben McAdams.
Well, you know, let me tell you something about something I did in the legislature. 60% of our air pollution on the Wasatch Front, roughly 60%, comes from vehicles. So I sponsored legislation last session to help to teach new drivers, to change the driver's education curriculum so that new drivers learn good habits about how to reduce their individual contribution to air quality, reduce idling, because I believe it's a personal choice and we can each take individual responsibility for improving our environment. As county mayor, I think there's even more I can do to improve our air quality. The first thing is continue my support for mass transit. Mass transit's our future. We live in a valley that today has a population of roughly 1 million people, but within 20 years it's going to double to 2 million. Now, if you think about the air pollution that comes from cars today, try doubling the number of cars on our road, and maybe even doubling or expanding the distance that those cars have to drive. So mass transit has to be part of our future. Another part of our future, though, has to be deciding how we want to grow. As this population grows, I think we can do a lot of things by trying to take the jobs to the people. As the population grows, let's look at expanding business opportunities in Cottonwood Heights and South Jordan and Bluffdale. But as we take the jobs to the people, we can encourage them to drive shorter distances and maybe even get away from their cars. And I think that's how we're going to, it's got to be over the long term that we're going to improve the air quality in the Wasatch Front.
Mark Ruckett.
We are down the path of having nodes of commercial development around the valley. We are down the path of having a mass transit system. We also know that we're going to have more cars. So it's going to be both. So what do we actually do? I spent some time growing up in Southern California, and since 1970 until just a couple of years ago, they've actually improved the air quality every year since 1970, while they have been adding a lot of people. The solutions are going to include, so if 60% of the particulates are from cars, we need to think about ways to reduce emissions when you're filling up your pump. Also, have you ever seen one of those cars that's just got a cloud of smoke coming out the back? Turns out that's something like 100 times the emissions of what your car does. At least I hope none of your cars do that. We can change the way we do our registration and the enforcement of it using modern day techniques that will allow us to identify some of those cars and issue citations, fix-it tickets. We can. We're also going to need to look at other things besides cars, though, and the nodes. We're going to have to look at 30% of the particulates come from large businesses like Kennecott and Flying J. We're going to have some conversations with them. 15% or so of the particulates are coming from trucks that drive through our community. We're going to have to talk to them as well. There are a lot of different things that are going to have to come together. And the question that I would put back to the listeners is, what are we actually ready? I think as a community, I believe that we are ready. We know that it matters. We need to get ourselves ahead of air pollution at this point. But we also need to start thinking about what personal sacrifices are we willing to make? Because we probably will need to make some.
Salt Lake County voters are going to consider a $47 million bond to support parks and trails in the community. I'm wondering, are you up or down on the parks bond, Ben?
I'm up. You know, I think we always need to be vigilant about how and when we spend taxpayer dollars, but we do live in a community where the population is growing, and if we want to have the parks and trails and open space that we enjoy today, we're going to have to make some decisions to preserve that over time.
Mark Crockett.
Yeah, I supported and co-sponsored the Parks and Open Space Bond from several years ago that was $40 million that was actually about acquiring land. This is more about developing it. So when the mayor came out with a proposal for, I think it was $176 million, it just seemed like way too much. Getting us more and more behind on our repairs that we're not current on today, otherwise called deferred maintenance, a couple $100 million worth of things that we know are breaking, but we can't afford to fix it. So I was very, very concerned about that, wrote to the mayor and to the council members and called them up, and they, public open letters, and they have reduced it now to 47. So it's about a quarter the size of what it was. You can't ask for a compromise and then vote against it. So I'm going to be voting for it. I'm grateful that it is so much smaller than originally proposed. At the same time, I do wish that we were doing it a few years later.
Let's turn to Ski Link. For those who don't know, it's a gondola project that would link Park City with Big Cottonwood Canyon. Supporters say that this project has a tiny little footprint. It's less than an acre. I guess I'm wondering, do you support the Ski Link project? If you do, tell us why. If you don't, tell us why not. And Mark Crockett, let's start with you.
I think the devil's in the details on this. There are about six different proposals for ways that you can connect different ski resorts together. The balance that I think we're trying to find is we want to get as much of the backcountry space preserved as possible. And there's a patchwork of private and public lands all mixed together up there. Whatever we can do to get those private lands into public hands without trampling on private property rights, I think is a good idea, and we want to do that. Some of the other proposals actually propose swapping thousands of acres for a few acres around ski resorts and allowing us to interconnect those resorts. I'm not sure Ski Link is actually even the ski resort's favorite way of doing that, but there are
well,
some
certainly being pushed by the canyons.
It is being proposed, pushed by the canyons, and I think part of that's because they feel like they've been so stonewalled on the other proposals that the ski resorts have put forward. But we know that there are some things that are non-negotiable, and there are some things that we want. So we would like to get more private land secured. We also know that we have a ski industry that matters and probably needs to grow as the population doubles. At the same time, we can't do anything that that loses our rights to water or undermines the quality of the water. We need to minimize any environmental footprints. We've got a transportation issue that we would need to solve if we're going to get people up that more people up the canyons. And if they're coming to ask the county for money, I'm a no.
Okay. So if it involves county dollars, you're a no.
Yes.
Otherwise, maybe?
Otherwise, maybe. There are other proposals I like better than Ski Link, but there are certainly a lot of things up there that we can consider. And if we can get more private, more of those backcountry lands into public hands, I think that's a good thing.
Ben McAdams?
Thank you. I'm not sure what answer I heard there, but
that the devil's in the details.
Fortunately, the Ski Link proposal is something that was announced about a year ago. And the details are very very clear. They're on the table. There are numerous proposals for interconnecting ski resorts. Ski Link refers specifically to the proposal by the Canyon Ski Resort to build a lift to connect to Solitude. And there's federal legislation that would direct the sale of Forest Service land, about 30 acres of Forest Service land, direct that sale to the Talisker Corporation to construct the ski lift. Fortunately, as we know from reading the proposal, there is no request for county dollars, so we don't have to worry about that. But I want to give you a clear answer, and that is that I'm opposed to Ski Link. I believe usually where the process is good, that the outcome is usually good. That in public decision making, that the one thing we have to agree on, because there's so many differing minds and approaches to problem solving in the public sphere, that we have to agree to a process. And then we abide by the outcomes. If we agree to the ground rules of a process, we abide by the outcomes of that process. My biggest objection to Ski Link is that I believe the process is flawed. We have a rich history on the Wasatch Front of making decisions about our pristine backcountry and canyons and watershed areas, of bringing people to the table, of sitting down, of laying all the cards on the table, and then it's a give and a take. And usually where there's been any expansion of development, we've seen an expansion of conservation at the same time. What's missing from this process is that there was no public engagement. We didn't sit down. We didn't bring the stakeholders to the table. Rather, we unveiled a bill at Congress. There's not going to be any environmental impact statement, any environmental studies. It's just Congress saying, it's done. We're selling this land. It's ready to build. Now, I think the details are pretty clear. And because of that, and because I believe there will be impacts on watershed, there will certainly be impacts on pristine backcountry areas that we've locked away for generations. Because of those reasons, I'm opposed to it.
A side question to the Ski Link. The supporters argue that it will help relieve congestion in the canyons, which is a real problem, especially at peak times. Whether or not you believe that argument, how else would you propose solving congestion in our canyons? And Ben, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I don't think, I've looked at the studies, I'm not convinced that building a ski lift, that people are going to commute via gondola. So I'm not convinced that it really is a transportation solution. We do have a transportation challenge in the canyons. And with a growing population and increasing demand to use those resorts, we're going to need to get serious about that. So once again, coming back to, I think, process, because I do think process matters, there's a transportation planning process going forward now where we've brought together stakeholders. The county is driving it. Cities are participating. Environmental community, the ski resorts, development interests are all participating in the stakeholder process. And I think it would be premature for me as a potential county mayor to come in and say, forget about that process. We've already decided that this solution works.
But are there any ideas that appeal to you?
Yeah, I think there are. I think, there's additional bus service through the canyons that I think would be interesting. There's talk of some type of mass transit connector system through the canyons that I think can really alleviate some of the transportation challenges that we face currently.
Okay. Mark Crockett.
I'm not convinced that this is the cure-all for transportation either. There probably is some advantage, but I don't think that's the big problem that we face. I don't know also that we're really excited about putting another lane up Little Cottonwood Canyon. That's one of the things that's on the table. There's also these other interesting ideas about putting a train line up the canyon, or putting a tram that actually is lifted up in the air and goes all the way up the canyon. There are so many different ideas. They all look really expensive, and they also look like they have pretty significant environmental impacts that make Ski Link look trivial. The environmental impacts on some of these others could be really large. So what I would favor is finding ways, whether it's Ski Link or there's a tunnel that goes that connects between small and big Cottonwood Canyons, and are there ways that we can connect so that people, that it actually does solve transportation problems up there without people always having to drive down and then all the way around to Park City? There are a lot of ideas. Some of them have big environmental impacts and big price tags, and others maybe we can look at as well.
Can we talk facilities for a minute? The outdoor retailers say they need more exhibit space, that the Salt Palace expansion was not enough. Others are throwing out this idea about a hotel convention, that the convention center needs a hotel. As county mayor, what are you prepared to do to lure conventions, which bring in millions of tax dollars to the county, and keep those conventioners happy, like outdoor retailers? Mark Crockett.
Yeah, my opponent was at least early on one of the drivers behind this hotel expansion. I don't know that that's what the downtown hotels want. And since a lot of the convention business is directed towards helping the convention business and the tourism business downtown, I don't know that we figured that out yet. Here's the basic dynamic with the convention center. Over the last 20 years, attendance for conventions other than a dip around 9/11 has been flat. Meanwhile, we have had we've seen a doubling of convention center space across the country. If you see demand flat and supply growing like crazy, you know you have a problem. And just continuing to do the same thing that Colorado or Vegas does is probably not going to work for us for very long. What we need to think about is what we do to differentiate our convention center. And that may or may not be that, I mean, if we could convince Great Outdoor Retailers to sign a 15-year contract with us to put in 15 years worth of improvements, that might be interesting, but they're not going to do that. So we need to think more creatively about how to reconfigure the space and also how to reconfigure the purpose of why we have a convention center. Tourism that comes in for 3 days and then goes home is terrific. But what's even more exciting is if we could use it as a recruiting tool to bring globally relevant jobs to come here and learn about all the genetic research, ancestry information, healthcare and medical device businesses that we have in the community, and to see that this is the place to set up their businesses. If we could use it more as a recruiting tool than just a big room that gets filled a handful of times a year, I think that we might have a better chance of getting a good return on our investment.
Ben McAdams.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure I heard an answer, but let me tell you my position. I don't believe it's responsible for government leaders to come to conclusions before we've seen the facts and before we've had an opportunity to evaluate the facts. I'll tell you what the downtown business interests and business leaders tell me about our convention industry. They say that we are losing conventions every year to our competitors, places like Albuquerque, Boise, and even Denver. We don't compete with Vegas, candidly. I think Vegas is a completely different market for conventions, but we lose conventions every year to some of these competitors, that we are losing jobs and economic activity because, and here's what they say, is when a convention planner calls up Salt Lake City and they call up Albuquerque and say, we want to bring a convention, we have 800 convention attendees and we want to bring it to one of these two cities. In Salt Lake City, we say, great, you need 800 hotel rooms? Well, here's a list of 60 hotels. You're going to need contracts with 45 of them in order to get your 800 rooms. Good luck. They call up Albuquerque and they say, oh, great, the hotel across the street has a dedicated block of rooms that's already set aside for this purpose. Call up the hotel across the street and they can reserve some rooms for you. So the businesses say, look, we are losing business. We actually are better situated. Our convention center is better. Our outdoor activities, reasons that people would want to come. We're a more attractive city than many of our peers. But we lose them because we don't have hotel space. And they say we need a hotel, a block of hotel rooms that can accommodate and remove a bottleneck and will grow our economy and bring tourism and jobs to the Wasatch Front. Now, my position has been consistent from the beginning, and that is that I believe a responsible leader is going to make fact-based decisions. Now, I don't believe, I'm not going to lead this charge because I believe it's private sector activity, but the business community is working on this. They're generating ideas. They're researching it. And what I've said as county mayor is, look, I think public-private partnerships work, and I'm going to listen to ideas, any idea that can grow our economy and bring jobs to the Wasatch Front. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to evaluate any investment of taxpayer dollars to make sure that we get a multiplier on any investments we make. And there may be proposals that come from the business community that I turn down because I don't believe it's a good investment on your behalf. But if I believe we can invest money and grow our economy and get a multiplier return on that investment, I believe a responsible leader needs to look at that.
While we're on the subject of facilities, the Utah Performing Arts Center is underway. Salt Lake City, of course, moving forward on this $110 million project. Salt Lake County says they'll chip in $28 million. So that's a foregone conclusion. But are you satisfied that UPAC will not hurt other county arts groups, other county-run performing arts venues, and the like Capitol Theater and Kingsbury Hall? Ben McAdams.
Well, so I think, first of all, as you mentioned, the decision's been made. Salt Lake City has decided to proceed with this. The county's decided to chip in. I think in full disclosure, it's worth noting that when I was hired by local government to bring a private sector perspective to government as a corporate finance and business law attorney, I have had a role in evaluating those financing proposals and working to make sure that it all pencils. And the decision's been made. And it will be built. And I think you identify the correct concern, and that is, as you bring a new venue that has such a center of gravity to it into an existing equilibrium, a system with equilibrium among arts groups, we have to worry about whether the other venues, other facilities can grow, whether it's a rising tide that lifts all boats, or whether it's going to cause a tidal wave that puts other people at jeopardy, other arts venues at jeopardy. I value things like a symphony. My wife and I have been season ticket holders at the symphony prior to having no social life because of our kids. But I enjoy going to the Pioneer Memorial Theater, the Rose Wagner, and other venues that we have that are so important. The one thing I want to say about the financing plan, though, is rest assured that it is not a tax increase. And in fact, the only entities who will be paying for the new Performing Arts Center are downtown businesses who will be benefiting from having this new venue. But we do need to, and I think the answer to your question is it depends, and what happens over the next 4 years. I want the listeners and the people in the classroom today to know that as county mayor, it's going to be a huge priority for me to make sure that it is a rising tide that lifts all boats, that we give the support we need to existing venues. And I've seen as the conversation has gone back and forth with the county and Salt Lake City that there have been assurances in place that we are going to find ways to support these venues. Some of that is sharing of advertising, that what you want is as somebody buys their first ticket to a live performance and they go and see Wicked downtown, that we ask them to become, for a fraction of the cost of a Wicked ticket, they can go and see numerous shows at the Pioneer Memorial, that we use that as a gateway to a broader arts offerings.
Mark Rocket.
Yeah, we all love the arts, at least I hope everybody does. I went to college on a music scholarship and have been to lots of Broadway plays. My family loves them. I think this theater is a mistake for now, though. My opponent did drive a lot of this, and speaking of good process or bad process, you know, we had a stakeholder process that I commissioned when I was on the county council several years ago asking for a master plan. The communities around the valley came together and said, we don't want this big theater. We think it's going to hurt us. In fact, the Capitol Theater and the Pioneer Theater still believe that. And it does, my opponent here keeps saying it's a done deal, and maybe it is, but the deal has not actually been signed. It's been agreed to in principle, but the deal is still being negotiated. And what it says is that we already know that Capitol Theater is going to lose out so much that we have to have a subsidy go from the new theater to the old one. That tells us that Capitol Theater, Pioneer Theater are likely to suffer. And is that what we really want, especially in a time like this? There's also been this statement that it's not a tax increase. Well, this is one of those gimmicks about that always makes you wonder, right? Oh, well, if we didn't increase taxes, then why is my tax bill going up all the time? Well, here's one of those situations. When we could have been investing in the downtown convention center, money that rolled off that we've been paying on for the convention center is now being redirected into this theater. That's a tax increase. It's maybe moving one thing from another place, but don't pretend it isn't taxes. Tax money's going into it, and what are we, as a county, getting back for it? You see, this is largely a bunch of downtown money going to downtown people who can afford to pay downtown expensive ticket prices. So maybe we've agreed in principle, but let's at least make sure that the rest of the county residents get something for it. And what I've been talking about lately is, in any given theater, even if you're really running at max, you probably have 30% of the tickets that never get used, and you can predict which tickets those are likely to be. So maybe what we could do is we could have a system whereby we get those tickets and we make them available to school kids and single moms and people who can't afford tickets. If we did something like that, it's probably about $2.5 million a year worth of ticket value for $28 million up front. Maybe that starts becoming something interesting for the rest of the valley and maybe gives us a reason to get a little bit more behind what otherwise a lot of people in this valley don't understand why we're doing it and why they're having to pay for it.
about half of our time is up, so I want to get your voices in. But before I go to you, I would like each of the candidates to ask their opponent a single question. And if you can make it short, please, and then allow for some rebuttal time and maybe a little back and forth. Ben McAdams, what's your question for Mark Crockett?
You know, Mark, you said in your intro today, and you've said it almost every time we've spoken about, that you should be county mayor because of your experience as a management consultant, and you say that you've saved government, as a consultant, you've saved government millions of dollars, billions of dollars, mm-hmm. I think you've said. My question for you is, In the only government contract that I'm aware that you've had was with the department, was with Colorado government. Mm-hmm. And as we've looked at that, what I've seen from that agreement was that you proposed $25 million in what you called efficiencies. But far from efficiencies, it actually was about $15, $16 million of tax increases, including proposing that we charge people for watching deer on state lands. That the director of that department who was hired to oversee your contract was actually fired. And the Denver Press called that a boondoggle. So my question for you is, what can Salt Lake County, this is what you've talked about as a reason you should be hired, can we as Salt Lake County taxpayers expect that efficiencies will include tax increases?
Mark Crockett.
Very clever twisting, my dear Ben. So, one, I didn't recommend anything. The employees, the stakeholders, the mining companies, the water companies, they all came together. The wildlife protection, the wilderness company groups, they all came together and they came up with all of these proposals. Second, yeah, he did get fired, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why. I made one mistake on that project, which was I didn't include the state legislators like you in the process up front. And being political animals like they tend to be, two of them who were on the Appropriations Committee and the Secretary of the Department ended up being opponents in a race for Congress. And that all ended up being, you know, what those political things tend to do. You talk about partisanship and all of that. You are more partisan than anybody at the county council ever was. I think you're going to be very surprised if you ever get there that it's not like you think it is at the state legislature. You also seem to demonstrate a lack of understanding about what business consultants, what management consultants do. See, when a company gets stuck and they can't solve a problem, who do they call in? They call in a management consultant, an expert. Just like here, when we had trouble with the Olympics, who did we call? We didn't call another politician. We called in Mitt Romney, a management consultant, somebody who actually knew how to turn things around. That's what I've done many, many times, dozens of times. And it works. And it doesn't work because we are always the smartest people in the room. Oftentimes, the smart that matters is out on the front lines. It's the people who do the job every day, the people who have to live with the decision every day. Getting them together and actually being able to work through the complexity of that is what makes things work and why we have been able to save billions of dollars a year and why all those disparate groups, I mean the most controversial groups in Colorado, were able to come to the state legislature and say, please reduce our cost by $9 million, please put in place fees. They were the ones who recommended those things. And
Ben
it took
McAdams,
a process to make that work.
Yeah,
I would
just say, first of all, you were the consultant on that contract, so whether or not it was the employees who generated those ideas, that was the report that you put forward. And we may disagree as to whether a tax increase or a fee increase is an efficiency, but what I will say and what I've read is that independent of what I think, a majority of the Colorado legislature responded to your contract by running legislation to prohibit such contracts in the future.
Mark Crockett, your question for Ben McAdams.
Who are you going to vote for president and why?
I am going to support my party's nominee. And, I think my rationale, I'll tell you, it hasn't been an easy decision. But I think, I'm concerned about the economy and I'm concerned about the leadership we receive at the national level. And I'll be candid, I've been underwhelmed with his job performance. But I know that he inherited tough circumstances and I believe he deserves a second chance.
For the record, Ben McAdams is a Democrat. All right. Questions from
Wait,
the audience.
So my rebuttal.
Oh, your rebuttal. Excuse me. Right. Yes.
See, I think that's a complete mistake. I think that when you have 4 years of somebody standing up like you saying, I'm a visionary. I have no experience. But I'm a visionary, and I know how to bring people together. I know how to collaborate. We've seen where that's gone over the last 4 years. I support Mitt Romney.
And I don't support it because he is a Republican. I support him because he actually knows how to get change to happen. Whether you look at his record in the state legislature in Massachusetts or working with companies, this is a person who actually has a skill set that I think is important. And being a business lawyer is not the same as being somebody who runs things. And so I think it's important that we pick somebody at the national level and at the local level who actually knows how to get stuff done.
You know, I think Mitt Romney is a very strong candidate. Fortunately, I'm not running for president. I'm running for county mayor, and I'm pleased to have the support of many Mitt Romney supporters, including 13 of 17 mayors in Salt Lake County, Republicans. Many Republicans are supporting me who are also voting for Mitt Romney. So fortunately, you don't have to have the choice. I'm not on the ticket with Mitt Romney, and I hope people, I'm not on the ticket with Barack Obama. So I hope people will look at my track record and my skills and judge me as the candidate who I am.
Mm-hmm. And on that point, since he got a second rebuttal,
okay.
She talks about the mayors, right? So, but the governor, most of the federal legislation, the Republican legislators from this valley, they're supporting me. All of the mayors that you're talking about, they've all said that they've been happy to work with me, and I think we're going to be able to get along well. I just think that I think that's a bit of a dodge.
All right, let's get to some student questions. Yes, right here. Please say your name and a brief question.
All right. My name is Abby Pike, a political science major here. I just want to know what exactly, I know you touched on it earlier, what exactly do you believe the role of the county government is, and what do you believe it is not?
Okay. Mark Crockett.
Sure. The role of county government falls into three categories. The first is where there's not a city, then it is the city. But that's a very small part of what the county does. It's $45 million out of almost a $1 billion budget. So the purpose of county government falls neatly almost into two buckets in equal parts. Regional services like the convention center we've been talking about, the cultural facilities like the theaters, libraries, regional parks, open spaces. And then the other half, which I think is the core required reason for county government, is about these human services, taking care of people that we're worried about but we haven't given up on yet. You know, it's whether it's you have a mother or a grandmother that you'd like to be able to stay in her home for another few years, whether it's that friend or the stepson or, you know, the brother-in-law who has been in and out of trouble, you know, somebody who's suffering with chronic depression, who's got addictions. That's what the county is really about. The other services state or cities can do, but what's unique to county government is taking care of these people. And just taking jail as the most black and white example, across the country we have 1 million people in jail, roughly. 70% of them will be back over and over again until something worse happens. That's not a good outcome. We've proven that this doesn't work for a lot of people. It's an important ingredient, a threat, maybe a detox center, but it's not the best thing for all the people. Here's a little story that I'll tell as part of this, but if Target can figure out whether a woman is pregnant before her husband knows, just so they can figure out when they're going to start trying to advertise to her a baby stroller, and they do this. They literally do this. And how do they do that? They look at all the people who bought baby strollers, and then they look at everything they bought and clicked 7 months earlier. That tells you if people are buying, if they're buying a certain kind of vitamin, they're buying a certain kind of lotion and a blue rug, she's having a boy. We have not applied any of this learning in our county to date, really. And across the country, we need our valley to join with others to step up and think about how we match people, the complexities of human souls, with the different kinds of programs that we can put them in.
Sounds kind of Big Brother, though.
Well, I don't know. Which is more Big Brother? Figuring out what's likely to help you save your own life or putting you in jail for 6 months? So that you lose your job, you stop being able to make family support, and your kids all kind of go down the toilet bowl. I think maybe helping people actually get out of the problem is less Big Brother than what we're doing today.
Ben McAdams, the role of county government. What are the core values that you see?
Yeah, you know, I think, first of all, there are two things that I would ask. And there's a difference maybe you'll see between, there's a difference between a manager and a leader. So the first thing, a manager is going to ask himself, what do I have to do, and how do I do that? And I think a leader looks more broadly and says, what are the needs, and how are we going to get there? So there are the things that the county must do. The largest portion of the county's budget is in human services, if you include jail and other services, as we service a human population. That is the core and critical function of the county. As my opponent mentioned, there are also certain parks and recreation and trails and arts and culture. Those are all part of what the county must do, and we must do it well. And I believe that we've benefited from extraordinary leadership under Mayor Caroon, who's provided good government, working across party lines and getting things done, and yet no-nonsense government where he's balanced the budget and been fiscally conservative. And I think we've benefited from that leadership. But I think a leader is, as I alluded to earlier, a leader is different than a manager. A leader is going to look and see what we need in the valley. Now, I've been out for almost a year now campaigning, talking to voters, asking what they need, what are the challenges in their community. And I'll tell you, there are some things that our community needs that don't fit squarely within the statutory definition of what the county must do. But I think it does fall within the scope of what a leader should do. And that's looking at a regional economic plan, regional development plan. As our county goes from a population of 1 million today to 2 million within 20 years, what are we going to look like? Are we going to continue our investment in mass transit? Are we going to develop economic activity nodes throughout the valley that help people to live, work, and play in close proximity to each other? Are we going to conserve precious canyons and watershed areas? Are we going to have an education system that continues to prepare a workforce for the jobs of tomorrow? Now, this is one where we've had some disagreement, that the county has a limited role in education, but the county has a role. The county has a critical role in providing early intervention, after-school programs, and helping those kids who are falling through the cracks so that we make sure that as our kids show up to learn, they're ready to learn. And as we have classrooms ballooning to 30 kids in a classroom, what I can do as county mayor, this is about all of us putting our shoulder to the wheel and working together to make sure that we have the tools in place to develop the county that we want to be tomorrow. And part of that includes, as county mayor, putting my shoulder to the wheel and supporting our education system so that the learning environment in that classroom is the best it can be, because I've helped those kids who started falling through the cracks, help them to rise to their potential and perform at grade level.
Okay.
Yes, Joe Andrade. I'm on the engineering faculty here. You both have endorsed a doubling of the population of the county in the next 20 years. And you both have suggested essentially Band-Aid approaches to dealing with Jennifer's question of air quality, congestion, and so forth. Mass transit is wonderful. It should be dramatically expanded. High-density housing is wonderful. It should be dramatically expanded. But I can assure you that if you double the population of this place in the next 20 years, we will all be asphyxiating, and many of us will be wearing gas masks. So what's wrong with the rest of the state? Why does all of the growth have to be in the Salt Lake Valley? There are wonderful rural communities that would love some of that growth, and they're good places to live with mountains nearby.
All right.
So why are you both endorsing doubling the population of this place?
To Joe's question, I'm not sure how to put that in, As a county mayor, can you shift off some development to outlying areas? Can you rearrange populations, Mark Crockett?
No, I don't think we can. We can have a lot to do with zoning, with planning transportation, with asking people to be responsible, talking about higher density. We can do a lot of those things, but I don't think I'm prepared to say a family should not have more kids. I don't think I'm prepared to say that a business must set up somewhere else rather than here. I think we're likely to see people put businesses around other businesses and around an airport and around the population center that is able to make those jobs work. So I think it's less that government's trying to drive it than that that's where the bulk of the people wants to be, and so we need to be as smart as we can about how we make that work. I don't think we're really in a position to tell a bunch of people to go away.
Ben.
Yeah, I think I agree with my opponent here. I don't think that it's something that we really have a lot of control over. The growth is happening. The demographers tell us that it's going to happen. But, Joe, I would also question maybe a premise of your question in that it is more environmentally friendly to have growth sprawl throughout the state of Utah onto some of our pristine lands than it is to have density. I actually look at places like Portland and other places throughout the country where there is density. And, you know, I think density, people are going to have different, they're going to choose different housing lifestyles. Some people are going to want rural areas, acre lots, horse properties, but a lot of people do want density. And I think for those people who choose density, it's actually probably a good thing. We're building less roads to service those areas. We're building less water pipeline to get, and dams and other thing to get water to those areas, building less electrical and power lines to service those areas. As we increase density, actually the transaction cost of supporting a population goes down, the impact on the environment goes down. And I actually think that the population growth we're seeing in Salt Lake County, it is a challenge. And I think it is the biggest challenge that we are facing right now. But I also believe it's an opportunity. We have a community that was developed around the mentality of a 1950s automobile development, where you have a hub and you have spokes that are far-reaching spokes. And as we now have population growth, I believe we have the opportunity to start with a new form of development where it is environmentally sustainable, where it's walkable. We're going to have to create workplaces and housing places for these people. They can use clean building codes and implement clean energy and be reduce the footprint and the impact on the environment through density. I think we can harness this growth, harness the energy of that growth, and use it to our advantage.
And all of that is well and good, but it won't be enough if you double the population.
Thank you, Joe. A question over on this side. No. Okay, right here.
Yes, George Zinn, a community member. I'd like to get your feedback on something that's been of concern to me, and that is kind of how we use our resources in the city and county as far as things like the Pride Parade and activist causes such as that. I know that Ben claims to, Senator McAdams claims to be an active Mormon that supports LGBT causes such like that. And I'd just like to know, you know, if that would, you know, how, if that's the proper use of our resources as far as fire and police and so on, and how that would stop other activist groups from wanting to do the same similar thing with the same kind of money.
You know, George references one of the things that maybe I'm most proud of in my time of public service, and that is several years ago, Salt Lake City was proposing protections against discrimination in housing and employment, and some members of the legislature were talking about overturning that. And I went to work, and I met with the opponents, met with the supporters, and was at the center, together with other individuals, but at the center of crafting an agreement where when Salt Lake City ultimately adopted those protections in November of 2009, Senator Butters of the Senate supported it, the LDS Church supported it, and now 16 cities throughout the state have adopted these protections word for word. It didn't cost us taxpayer dollars. It brought our community together behind something that we can agree on, and that is that people have a right to human dignity, to a job and housing. And I'm proud of the work that I've done there and been able to accomplish there. I don't think it has to be at the expense of other huge priorities. As mayor, certainly understand the importance of providing a safe community, whether it's police or fire or economic development and jobs and a good education system. But I think what I have stood for in my time in the legislature is that I don't believe in, you know, kind of like Stephen R. Covey said, that when you have two choices and neither is acceptable, find a third choice. And that's what I've done many, many times in my legislative service, is saying, well, option A isn't acceptable and neither is option B, and let's create a new way to do that. And that's what I hope to do as county mayor.
Mark?
Yeah, I think you've done good work on this. And at the county, I helped pass healthcare benefits for the household members of county employees. I think that it's important that we all treat each other with dignity and respect. I think it's important that we protect the rights of everybody in our community. We're all here, and we all, I believe, have great value. I think it's also important that we don't create specially protected classes of people, that we don't add more bureaucracy than we need to in order to accomplish any of these great goals. And so we probably have a few different nuances about how we would go about that. But the goal of protecting everybody and making sure this is a safe and comfortable place to live matters. Now, you were asking something, I think, George, pretty specific about, you know, which groups should be given public money for a parade or things like that. I think that there are a few general community events that we want to invest in because it's for the entire community as a whole, for individual groups, maybe, whichever it is, whether it's the Second Amendment group or it's the, whatever group it is, they should probably be able to pay for largely for their own events.
Okay, another question. Yes.
Hi, I'm Howard Cook. I'm worried about transparent government. So my question to you guys is, if you were elected, how would you conduct the affairs of your office to be transparent to someone, everyday citizens like us?
Mark Crockett.
Yeah, well, let me draw a little bit of a contrast to begin with. I respect the efforts that Mayor Caroon has, for example, in trying to be really open door. I think that's a fine thing. But you getting a Twitter feed every day about where Peter's going and how he's spending his day, that's not real transparency. That's not useful transparency. It's a fine thing that he does it, and I think it's great. But the transparency that you need is, let's start at the top. We spend almost $1 billion. Is that much too much or too little? Everybody, for those who are listening in, everybody's looking around saying, I don't know. The human services budget, that's $350 million or so. Is that too much or is that too little? I don't know, right? We spend $3 million. It's not the right number, but just easy numbers. We spend $3 million a year on Meals on Wheels, delivering meals to elderly people at home. Is that too much or too little? Well, it's starting to get more interesting. But if you were to learn, for example, that we spend $12.80 making each one of those meals, $7, and these aren't the right numbers, but $7.60 delivering each one of them, and 73 cents for nutritionists figuring out exactly how much money we're spending, which menus that different people should get, now that starts being really interesting, right? The other transparency that would be good to have, and we'll make all that available for people by February and March this coming year, and then for you to be able to say, you know, I'm really interested in the nutritionist piece. I want to know more about that one. I've got to be in my bonnet about that, or I think we could do better about it. Well, then great. You'll have an opportunity to come and get involved in the programs that you particularly care about, in the functions that you particularly care about. That's real transparency. Since about February on my website, we've had a plan for how we'd lay out to do all of that and make it completely open for all the residents in the Valley. And it's going to change, I think, the way we think about our county government and also how well we perform in our services.
Ben, transparency.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think open and transparent government is hugely important. When 2 years ago, when the legislature passed legislation to take away the public's right to access government records, I was one of the first people to stand up in opposition to that. In fact, handed my cell phone to members of the press and told them to look at it and read whatever they wanted to, that I believe as your public servant, what I do and how I make my decisions is your business. And I've stood up for open government in the legislature, and I'll stand up for it as county mayor.
Our time is getting short. I want you each to name the three things that top your list of priorities. If you're elected, what is going to be at the top of your list to do come January? Mark Crockett?
One, do this bottoms-up redesign of all the functions in county government so that we can find at least $40 million a year in savings and make government more transparent and improve the services generally. That's, I think, what we have to do first, because if you can't solve the budget, you can't get really past square one. Second is to create a learning model for us to be more thoughtful, more wise in matching people and programs in the human services. No two people are exactly the like, and we keep treating them alike and wondering why outcomes aren't always the same. We need to use data and innovation and statistics and a learning model that will allow us to be smarter about how we match people and programs. I think that's the biggest priority after just making sure we keep our house in order. And then, I think that we also have a big priority around about just keeping our costs down. And I'd like to talk about air quality and about, I mean, there's a laundry list of other things. There's the cultural facilities. There's regional planning for the future. I'd say those all kind of come under regional thinking. There are a lot of things that we need to solve in there, but the first two feel like the first two priorities, and the third, we have a whole lot of other things that we need to do.
So budget and technology, matching people with services.
Yeah, being more thoughtful, building partnerships between the community volunteer organizations, empowering people better, helping get more people back up on their feet. I think in times like these, we need to put people first.
Ben.
I'll tell you, first of all, I think the first order of business is going to find a way that we can operate more efficiently and streamline county government. I announced last month a government efficiency plan, where I believe we can use the tax dollars that you give to county government and use it to the utmost benefit. I think we're all willing to pay our fair share for police and fire and for the roads we drive on. But we want to know that our government is doing the best with our dollars, and I think we can do better. So the first thing would be to find efficiencies. I have a 5-point, very detailed efficiency plan on my website that is how we're going to start, and we're going to milk these efficiencies out of the county. The second one is, I think, economic development. We live in a county that 60 years ago was a sea of farmland and open space, and it had cities dotted throughout it. And the way that we deliver government services, or the way we think of our county government, is premised on these facts on the ground, that you have Midvale and Old Town Midvale, and down the road you have Taylorsville, and you have Murray, and you have South Jordan, Bluffdale, these islands of cities throughout our county. Well, the facts on the ground have changed. We now have a county that is population all the way from the north to the south. And to deliver government services based on this old model is inefficient. And too often we think of economic development based on this old model. What I'd like to do, the second point I'd like to do with economic development, is develop a countywide regional economic development plan. That rather than the county reacting to proposals from each of these 16 cities, let's decide who we want to be, what kind of jobs we want to bring here, and how we're going to get them here, and work in a coordinated fashion. And the third one is, as I alluded to earlier, I think the critical issue in Salt Lake County today is education. And the pieces to that puzzle, the keys or the tools to maybe supporting our school system, resides at numerous levels. It's at the legislature and the governor's office, the regents, the state board of education, the local school districts, and at the county. But I want you to know that as county mayor, I will do everything in my power to make sure that I'm doing my part to have the school system that my kids and your kids can be trained for the jobs of the future. I think all of these things work in an interconnected fashion, that our school system and our economy are one and the same. And as county mayor, I want to be a leader on those issues.
We need to wrap this up. Again, the coin toss. Mark Crockett, you'll go first. If you could give a minute and a half for a closing statement.
Thank you all again for coming and for listening in. We live really in an amazing place. The beautiful mountains, the people who quietly go about serving every day, the opportunities that are growing here where so many other parts of the country they aren't. This is a wonderful place to live. We have a vision about where we want to be in the future. We know that we want clean air and opportunities for our kids and for them to come home excited for school, from school. We know that we want what kind of a community we want. And the question is, what can the county do? What's the county's role, and how can the county, within its existing role and within its existing means, how can it contribute most? We've talked today about a variety of things, and economic development and about keeping taxes down. I'm the person in this race who's actually spent his career helping businesses figure out where they're going to put jobs, helping turn them around and actually save lots of money, helping them improve their services and learn how to grow. That's what I've done, and I think that's the skill set that we need at the county right now. I also think that when times are tough, like they are today, that we need to put first things first, and that the first thing right now is people, especially since that is the core role of county government, is to take care of the people that we're worried about but we haven't given up on yet. We can do better for our seniors. We can do better for the kids in after-school programs. We can do better for refugees. We can do better for all of those people that we know in our neighborhood and our families and amongst our friends who need a bit of help before things get worse. We can be smarter, we can be wiser, and if we do, our families are going to be better, our community is going to be stronger.
Ben McAdams.
You know, I want to first of all apologize. Sometimes we get an exchange going back and forth here, and we like each other. We see each other every day. We're out doing this, and so sometimes we have a sense of familiarity that you may not be accustomed to. But Mark and I have had a lively debate about issues, and I'll tell you, I don't like negative campaigning. I want you to judge me today based on my record and who I am and what I stand for. Judge me based on my background, working in the private sector as a corporate finance attorney doing mergers and acquisitions for Fortune 500 companies. Judge me on my experience bringing those business principles into local government and the projects that I've accomplished there, bringing people together, moving forward on key projects like the airport tracks line, like consumer protections and child safety standards. And I've done that in a bipartisan fashion, that I've worked across party lines. Judge me on my accomplishments as a senator, representing almost 100,000 people from three cities in this county, and the work that I've been able to accomplish there, that my ability to reach across party lines, to bring people together and build consensus and deliver results. Judge me on my record. Judge me on what I've accomplished. And I believe we have a bright future for Salt Lake County, that by working together we can accomplish far more than we can by thinking of ourselves as individual municipalities and thinking of ourselves as Republicans or Democrats or East Siders or West Siders or from City A or City B. But I think let's work together as Utahns to move forward and to rise to the bright future that our county holds. Ben McAdams, and I ask for your vote for county mayor.
I want to thank our candidates for an honest discussion. Thank you very much. I want to thank you for your great questions. It's great to hear what's on your mind. And don't forget to vote November 6th. Thanks so much.